Bom dia. Let's try that again. Bom dia. That's good morning in Portuguese. So that means you're ready to come and visit us next time Pastor comes. It's a privilege to be here at Liberty Baptist Church. We love this church, and it's always a blessing to be here. It's always a blessing to see many of you again. This church has had a special participation in our ministry. You sent a group to come and visit us and minister to us 4 months into our ministry in Brazil in March of 2006. We had just begun our ministry there. We began it, as you saw in our presentation, in December of 2005. And 4 months after that, you came as a group to minister to us. And we praise the Lord for that. And some of the contacts that were made and some of the results of that ministry are still there today. And you might recall that Patricia's mother got saved during that first ministry opportunity when the group came to Brazil. And the group ministered with us that whole week. And the group was scheduled to come back Sunday evening. So I drove the group back to the airport, and Pastor Olden stayed behind for a week of pastoral training. And without our knowing, Patricia's mother went to that service, and she trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And she's still faithfully attending church. She goes to church near her home now, and we praise the Lord for the ministry. Just this year, Pastor came down to Brazil again to preach to us and minister to us and to do a seminar, preaching to pastors. He also preached at a seminary down there. And we had evangelistic conferences in our church. And as a result of that, a young man trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And we had been witnessing to him for the last 6 years. And on and off, he had been doing Bible studies. He had come to our evangelistic meetings. He had participated in many things. And he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. After Pastor preached, and I was interpreting, we did the invitation. And three ladies, I believe, came and responded to that invitation, one of which is still attending with us. But that young man did not come. But I saw tears in his eyes. And I said, well, is it today that you're going to trust the Lord Jesus Christ? And he told me, I'm not sure. And I asked him, what are you waiting for? And he says, I don't know. I said, well, do you understand that you have to trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior? He says, I do. I asked him, do you understand that you are a sinner? He says, I do. And then I asked him, what are you waiting for? And he replied, I don't know. So I called a young man, one of our men, to talk with him. And sure enough, that day, with tears in his eyes, but now with a smile on his face, he said, now I'm a believer of Jesus Christ. And we praise the Lord for turning souls to him. And we praise the Lord for your church's involvement in that. So thank you so much for keep sending Pastor to us. I think we're used to having Pastor come once every 4 years. Maybe we can negotiate that once every 2 or 3 years. We can talk after the service. I understand there's a business meeting today, Pastor. Thank you so much for praying for us and for your partnership in the ministry with us. This morning, we'd like to consider with you the missionary task. As you support and pray for missionaries, there's a missionary board back there with prayer letters. We do have a missionary display table. We do have missionary cards, so please come and take one of our cards. The question this morning is, what is it that a missionary ought to be doing? Why are you sending missionaries? What are you sending missionaries to do? What do you expect from them? Well, as we read earlier in the service from Acts chapter 14, I believe here that we see the missionary task being described to us. In Acts chapter 14, we have the very back end of Paul and Barnabas' first missionary journey as it comes to an end. And as we consider Paul and Barnabas, the very first missionaries that were sent out by the church in Antioch, what is it that we see them doing? What is it important to them? What activities are they engaging in as they travel from town to town to town? What is involved in the missionary task? Please consider with me this morning what a missionary ought to be doing, because it is our desire in Brazil to engage in the very same things that we see Paul and Barnabas doing as they travel, as they are sent out as missionaries. Look with me at verse 20 and 21, and we see the very first aspect of this missionary task described, who says, howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Okay, so we know that he's going to Derbe. The question is, what is he going to do in Derbe? And verse 21 answers that question to us. 21 says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city. The very first aspect or activity of the missionary task is the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of good news. Isn't that the meaning of the word gospel? Good news? Paul went about preaching good news, wonderful news. I like the way it is translated in chapter 13, verses 32. It says, "And we declare unto you glad tidings. We declare unto you glad tidings how the promise which was made unto the Father." Good news. Paul went about sharing good news. Now, last week we were presenting our ministry in Wisconsin, and they're still elated that the Packers won the Super Bowl. As a matter of fact, a missionary friend of mine called me because he's originally from Wisconsin and he knows I'm a Vikings fan. And after the Super Bowl, I didn't watch the game. I didn't care for it. He called me to say, "I have good news." And I told him, "I don't think so. The Packers won. So what? Okay, they've won twice. Vikings have never won. But how's that good news? How does that really impact anybody's lives? What have the Packers done for us? What have the Vikings done for us in that matter? How's that good news?" Now, Paul went about sharing good news. Great news, actually. Good news that anyone who would call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he describes to us what it is that he's sharing, what good news is. He says, "More than brethren," 1 Corinthians 15, "I declare unto you the gospel," the good news, "which I preached unto you, which also you have received and where you stand, by which also you were saved, if you keep in memory that I preached unto you unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins." There it is. It's the beginning of good news. Christ died to pay the price for our sins, according to the scriptures. "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and then he was seen of above 500. Good news is the news that Jesus Christ died in our place to save us from our sin. It is wonderful news. Look with me at chapter 14, verse 15. We see him saying, "Sirs, why do you do these things? You are so men of like passions with you. And we preach unto you that we should turn down from vanities unto the living God." We evangelize you. Good news. We share good news with you. You need to turn from these things unto God, the God which made the heaven and earth and the sea and all the things there are therein. Paul went about preaching good news, the good news about Jesus Christ. We see a little glimpse of the message that he preached. Go back with me, chapter 13, verses 38 and 39. Starting at 37, "But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things." Imagine if we had been sent to Brazil to preach horrible news. The news that there is no more room. The news that there's nothing they can do about it. They're lost, condemned, on their way to hell. Imagine if we had been sent to them to share them horrible news. The news that there is no hope, that Christ is dead, that he did not rise again, that he's not coming back. Maybe we would not be excited about sharing that. But that's not what we're doing in Brazil. We're sharing wonderful news. The news that Jesus Christ died for all of mankind, and that whosoever shall come, whosoever shall trust in him will be saved. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." That is the message that we're sharing. Now, we live in a city of about 23 million souls. Every so often we go to a building downtown and we get a little glimpse of how big that city is. I praise the Lord that if all 23 million of those trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, all 23 million of them will be saved and forgiven of their sins. Isn't that wonderful news? Amen? We share good news. How they need to turn from idols unto God. How they need to put their faith in Jesus Christ and receive the forgiveness of their sins. We have good news to share, and we've attempted to share that good news in Brazil. You saw in our presentation that we have done street market evangelism. The street market sets up once a week, and we've, as a habit, gone there to share the gospel. Invite them for Bible studies. We've done VBSs, about 2 a year. As a matter of fact, this church helped us with our very second VBS in March of 2006. We do 2 VBSs a year, trying to get kids to come and hear the gospel, and inviting parents to come as well. We've done Bible studies, door-to-door, soul winning. We've done evangelistic Bible studies in the homes. Our desire is to share good news with those who are lost in Brazil. And we praise the Lord for those the Lord has seen fit to call into the understanding of the gospel. The Lord has given us 50 believers, and we praise the Lord for that. Now, I wish I were able to stay before you this morning and say that thousands and thousands had come to Christ as their Savior. It is not the case, even in a city of 23 million. Hundreds have heard, but we praise the Lord that 50 have trusted Jesus Christ. 50 have heard the good news that Jesus Christ died for them and was buried and rose again the third day, and he was seen of many witnesses. 50 have heard that Jesus Christ died to pay the price for their sin, and they have trusted Christ as their Savior. And we praise the Lord for all of those. Preaching the gospel, literally evangelizing is what we ought to be doing. We see in the text, and when they had evangelized that city, we haven't quite evangelized the whole city yet. I'm not sure we have even evangelized our whole neighborhood. We have tried. We have pretty much covered every street, but I don't think we have covered every person. And they had evangelized that whole city. Our goal, as we go back to Brazil, and we'll be going back October 23rd, is to keep on evangelizing, to keep on sharing good news. Now, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:16, "For though I preach the gospel, though I evangelize, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe is unto me if I do not evangelize." Our desire as we go to Brazil is to keep on evangelizing, to keep on sharing good news. The good news that Christ has died for all of mankind, and that whosoever will be saved by trusting in him, by putting their faith in him as their soul saver. Now, anytime you set out to preach the gospel, it seems you're going to find persecution, trials, and opposition. We see that in the text. Look with me, verse 19. We read, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead." Persecution, difficulties. Look with me, chapter 13, verse 50. We see the same thing, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of the city. And again, chapter 14 and verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and men made their minds evil affected against them. Paul and Barnabas faced severe persecution as they went about preaching good news, a very exclusive news, the news that only through Christ, he is the only mediator, only through him is their salvation. Now, Paul was stoned and beaten, and he received much persecution, and we have not seen anything quite like that. But we have faced trials and opposition and a little bit of persecution. But that should not surprise us. Christ says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were all of the world, because you're not of the world will love his own. But because you're not of this world, but I have chosen you out of the world, remember the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than this Lord than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." Persecution, trials, and opposition. Paul, writing to Timothy at the end of his life, says, "But thou had fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, all that will live godly lives in Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution." Anytime you set out to preach good news, you will face persecutions and trials and opposition and difficulties. And I have to confess this morning that we have seen our share of those. During the 6 years we've been in Brazil, our little Honda has been involved in 6 accidents. And lest you think that I'm a bad driver, Patricia is usually the one driving. No, 5 out of those 6 times the car was parked. And people just come and hit it. It's our instrument for ministry. We've had many health issues. I've had pneumonia. I've developed a herniated disc. We've had many difficulties. We've had team disagreements and problems in the field. We've had disappointments. We have had some of our dear beloved people leaving us, loving this present world and forsaking the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen loved ones pass away. We've seen our share of trials and persecution and opposition and difficulties as we minister on the field. Anytime you set out to preach the gospel, you should expect to see trials, oppositions, and difficulties. Perhaps that's why the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Thessalonians, he wrote to them, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, perhaps you'll want to turn there with me, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, he wrote, pray for us. Think with me for a moment. The great Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary that ever lived, commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, a man who knew several languages, who had dual citizenship at least, who had a team of wonderful helpers, wonderful men trained into the ministry. The great Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica saying, brethren, remember to pray for us. Literally, keep on praying for us. Why? So that, with this purpose, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. It says, pray that as we go about preaching the gospel, that it will be accepted, that it will be trusted, and that lives will be transformed by it. Verse 2, he says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful. He requested prayer because he recognized that in order to fulfill God's plan, he needed God's power. Pray for us as we go back to Brazil, as we continue evangelizing, preaching good news to those who are lost. There's millions and millions still lost in darkness. Pray for us. The very first activity we see Paul and Barnabas doing as they set out as missionaries, we see them evangelizing, preaching the gospel. Number 2, what is the second activity that we see them doing as they go about traveling from church to church? Number 2, we see them baptizing believers. Say, Brother Coelho, I didn't see that in those verses. You're right. Chapter 14 doesn't have that described to us, but we see that they baptize in chapter 16, so please turn your Bibles there with me, chapter 16. Verse 13, chapter 16, verse 13, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Notice verse 15, and when she was baptized and her household, baptizing believers. Look with me again, chapter 16, verse 31. The Philippian jailer, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Verse 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took him the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. The very second activity a missionary ought to engage in is baptizing believers. And I think that it's a Baptist distinctive as well. We immerse believers. You saw in our presentation that we have a little portable baptistry that we set up in the entryway of our little church. And it's always a blessing to baptize believers. It's always a blessing when they give public testimony that they have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I wish I could do it more often. I wish I could do it every Sunday. But whenever we have the opportunity to do it, we praise the Lord for those who publicly say that they are followers of Jesus Christ and obey the Lord in baptism. Preaching the gospel, evangelizing is the very first activity. Baptizing believers is the second activity a missionary should engage in. Number 3, teaching. Look with me back, chapter 14, verse 21. We saw, and when they had evangelized the city, when they had preached the gospel to the city, notice, and had taught many. Literally, when they had made disciples. When they had made disciples. Teaching is a very important aspect of the missionary activity. It is not enough simply to preach the gospel to them and get them saved. We need to preach the gospel to them as well. Now, I think this was the mistake of the great evangelistic crusades of the past. They preached the gospel, they got saved, But then what? And remember the commandment of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Remember the next verse? Teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you even to the end of this age. Teaching them is an important aspect of what we do. And Paul and Barnabas, as they went from city to city, they taught many. They made disciples. Interesting that verse 22 has that very word. Verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples. Teaching them to obey the Lord, the word of the Lord. Teaching them to remain faithful in the walk with God. Now, our desire, as we have young believers in Brazil, is to teach them to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Our goal is to get them to read Scripture every day, so daily they can walk with the Lord, daily they can learn from the Lord. Our goal is to get them to pray every day, to spend time in fellowship with the Lord. Our goal is to get them to be faithful to the gathering of the church, to the services. We have services like you, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We also have evangelistic Bible studies, and we have discipleship Bible studies. We meet with the men every other week, and we meet with the women every other week. Pastor Odens was able to participate in one of those meetings. Our goal is to get them to attend the gatherings of the church. Our goal is to get them to be faithful witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ as well, to tell their friends, their neighbors, about the good news that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all of mankind. Our goal is to get them to be faithful obeyers of the Word of God. Confirming the soul, teaching them, exhorting them, notice, to continue in the faith. It is our desire to teach them to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, I've been there for 5 years, and it seems like I've barely scratched the surface. Maybe after 30, 40 years, I will have been able to finish scratching the surface. Teaching them to observe the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as we minister in Brazil, we face the distraction of Pentecostals who love to come and steal our young believers. We have the difficulty of worldliness, people loving this present world more than loving the Lord. A great aspect of the missionary enterprise is teaching them to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ, spending time in the Word of God, spending time in prayer, attending faithfully to services or the gatherings of the church, being faithfully to witness to those who are lost, and obeying the word of the Lord. Teaching or making disciples is the third activity or the third aspect that we see Paul and Barnabas involved. I must hurry. Number four, the job is not done once they have preached the gospel, once you have baptized, and once you have taught. Number four, we see that Paul and Barnabas were involved in establishing churches. Look with me at verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, they established churches. They established a church in Lystra. They established a church in Iconium. They established a church in Antioch. Their goal was to train leaders, to train men, so that they could take over. Their goal was for these churches to be self-supporting, self-governing, and self-propagating, and that's our goal in Brazil, that Faith Baptist Church, Igreja Batista da Fé, will be self-supporting, self-governing, and self-propagating. So we're training men into the ministry. Well, now we have a Bible college graduate attending with us, and we have two of our men who have been called into the ministry. One wants to go into the pastorate, another one wants to go to the mission field, possibly Africa or the Portuguese-speaking country. We have three men who say they're called into the ministry, and my goal is to train these men as best as I can. Of course, they're attending seminary as well, but my goal is to train them to be competent leaders so that one day I can turn things over to them so they can be commended to the Lord and I can move elsewhere. A big hurdle in that is acquiring land. In these days, I believe we need land or a permanent meeting place. We don't have a meeting place. We're renting so far, and we're praying that the Lord will provide the means for us to acquire a house and transform that into a permanent meeting place so that this church can be self-supporting, self-governing, and self-propagating. They had ordained elders in every church and prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. They established churches as they went from city to city. What else do we see Paul and Barnabas doing? Fifthly, to finish this morning, we also see them reporting back to the churches. We also see them reporting back to the churches, verses 26 and 27. And then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. It is important to go back and report back to the churches, those supporting you, those praying for you, for three reasons. Number one, information. Information. They reported that the door of faith had been opened unto the Gentiles. Would you imagine the privilege of sitting under Paul and listening to all the stories, everything that had gone on as both he and Barnabas went about preaching the gospel? It provides information. As we report, you know what we're doing. We know what the church looks like. You know what the people look like. You know how old they are. You know we've been involved in. It provides information. But number two, it also provides accountability. The text says that they went and they reported back to the church for the work which they fulfilled. Reporting back provides accountability because you may know what we have been doing. What is it that we're doing? What have we been involved in? It provides accountability because you know exactly how to pray for us, and you know what kind of things are important for us. We like the fact that you have sent your pastor to check up on us twice already, and I suppose that after 12 years, I think he's able to say what we've been involved in the mission field. It provides accountability. But number three, it also provides encouragement. Information, accountability, encouragement. See with me in the text, it says, when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done. All that God had done. How he had opened the door of faith. Because it is God who gives the increase. We preach the gospel, yes. We share the good news, yes. But it is God who saves. It is God who transforms those lives. It is God who opens the door of faith to those who are lost. So whenever you hear a report, you can praise the Lord because he is still bringing souls to a saving knowledge of his Son, Jesus Christ. And then you can say with us, amen. Look with me, chapter 15, verse 3. And being brought out of the way by the church, they passed throughout Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto the brethren. Perhaps this morning you can rejoice with us that the Lord has been calling a group of people in the western section of São Paulo to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Perhaps this morning you can rejoice with us that many souls have been baptized, that they're gathering together at Igreja Batista da Fé, Faith Baptist Church. You can rejoice with us that people are still getting saved. You can rejoice with us that God is at work in the city of São Paulo. And perhaps this morning you can be reminded to pray for us as we minister in Brazil, and you can glorify God for opening the door of faith to those in São Paulo. Thank you so much for supporting us as we minister in Brazil.